And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is doing well. Joe Rex Road, are you doing well? How are things going?
Doing great.
That's good.
The headphones seemed really loud today. I feel like I comment on the headphones a lot.
It's this booming voice of mine.
Is that what it is?
6 o'clock in the morning.
You just bringing it stronger than normal right
now?
Maybe
so.
Okay, maybe.
I had the heated seats on in the car this morning. I feel rejuvenated.
Heated seats?
Heated seats, man.
Fancy.
Oh, yeah. It's good stuff.
Heated seats. Robbie's waking up a winner, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right. So everybody got a point but me, huh?
That is correct.
Thanks a lot, Nashville SC.
Brought to you by Camarena Tequila. Two goals from Hani Mukhtar last night. So the listener, Stephen from Murfreesboro, cashes in, which pushed the listeners up to 7 in this competition. 7 correct answers. Walker Zimmerman with a great goal, which ended up being the number one play on the SportsCenter top 10.
I know. That's amazing.
It was pretty awesome.
I need to see the other angle of that because I retweeted Luke Hawkinson's.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was that his phone? Was he taking a video of it from the side? Which was awesome, but I haven't seen the – out view of it yet.
It's pretty nice. And Walker Zimmerman, a nice celebration after that, too. But he scores, so I went off the board yesterday, got me a little Walker Zimmerman, and it worked. And Randall Leao scores yesterday as well. So that means the competition stands like this. The listeners at 7, Michelle Knezovic has surged ahead with 3, you and I with 2.
Wow. Well, we've got a good competition.
That's right.
Yeah. Listener, probably.
I have surpassed Joe.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. CJ, you let me down, buddy. Let me down.
Gonna have to get better. Scary moment last night. Hani Mukhtar leaves the game with an injury and was upset about it. I was listening to the call on the way back home from John Freeman last night, and apparently didn't go overly well for Miami. They took out a little bit of frustration on Hani Mukhtar. Appears like he's going to be okay, though. Gary Smith saying after the game that doesn't look like there's going to be any lasting damage for Hani Mukhtar's ankle. So that's good news.
Yeah, absolutely. Do not want to lose that guy. So second place solidly in the East.
Yeah.
Bounce back from a rare subpar performance.
Yeah. Well, they were not very good against Toronto. And then they come back and they just hammer Miami last night. Final score ends up being 5-1. They got a goal. Miami did, I think, in the 64th minute, but it was never close. And that's back-to-back blowout losses at home for Miami as well. So Nashville SC goes on the road last night and takes care of business. And look, I saw a lot of reaction on Twitter this last night. It was a good response. And that's what you like to see from a team when you go out and your previous performance is not good and it's not up to the standard that you've set. To go out and correct that immediately and to not have 2 back-to-back clunkers, I think a good sign and a pretty dominant performance last night. Anytime you hang up 5 in an MLS game, doing pretty well. It's pretty good stuff.
So, last year, first year, nice surprise, great run in the postseason. But I guess kind of wondered sometimes you see this happen, you catch lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
Good for them, but I think this year kind of has cemented the job. Jacobs has done building this team, right? I mean, really, it's pretty impressive.
I mean, they feel like they're a legitimate threat in to win the whole thing. Now, there are still a lot of really good teams in MLS, and that's the problem with the playoff format. Is just all it takes is you to play poorly one time and you're done. So we know that.
Or is that the beauty of the playoff?
Well, it is the beauty of the playoff format. I love that about it. But, you've got to make sure that you bring in your A game every night in the playoffs. But this team does feel like they are a legitimate threat to go a pretty good distance in this playoff run. So I'm excited. I mean, I know we've got a lot of things going on right now, but don't lose sight of this Nashville SC team. They're very exciting to watch. And that was, I think, the one complaint last year. That was legitimate. They were really good defensively. Obviously, Walker Zimmerman was the MLS Defender of the Year. They didn't really put it together offensively last year until the playoffs. And this year, they've been so much more fun to watch offensively. They control the ball for most of the game. They've got great possession, and they've got some finishers this year. I mean, Sapong's been playing great. Hani Mukhtar, I mean, he might get himself in MLS League MVP conversation. He's been that good for Nashville SC. So they've got a lot of fun pieces to watch this year offensively. So if you've not been out to a Nashville SC game, I highly recommend it. They're much fun to watch this year.
Yeah, still quite a few opportunities too. And you got...
That's the other thing. Like, the MLS season is a grind, man.
I mean, the last regular season game is November 7th.
Yeah.
So, and that's at Nissan Stadium. So, still, I'm counting up five games left at home. Am I counting that right?
That sounds right.
No, it's not that many. I'm sorry. They actually have quite a few road games.
Well, they were home for like the whole month of July.
Yeah. But they do have three left. They got three regular season home games left at Nissan Stadium, stretching into November. Yeah, it is. It's a heck of a season.
But hey, just keep getting those 3 points. Keep winning games. Be in good shape. Congratulations to Nashville SC last night on their win. And we'll see if they can keep it up. And I think it's official at this point. It's going to be pretty difficult for us to catch the listeners in this competition. Now up to 7. That's pretty impressive. 7 correct answers.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Hey, I'm moving quick.
You are moving very quick.
I've only been here 3 months, and I got 3 points.
I was about to say, if she was here the whole season, you might be right there with her.
Yeah.
I feel like I should go buy a lotto ticket today. A lottery ticket.
Do it.
I'm feeling lucky.
Just go get, like, Randall Leal's number all over it on the lottery ticket. That's the go-to pick for Michelle and NSC pick to click.
Just repeat the number.
Just repeat it over again.
What number is he?
Just a great strategy to have out there. Oh, congratulations to Nashville SC last night. Joe, what did we learn yesterday at Titans practice? And we'll get into the availability of a certain offensive lineman a little bit later in the show. But anything particular stand out from Mike Vrabel yesterday at his press conference?
Well, we're also going to talk about the taunting discussion more.
Yes, we are.
This is a taunting kind of week. From Vrabel, no, I don't know. I mean, I think the Lawan thing, Taylor Lawan being available, is the biggest news of the day. That's the good injury news. There is, it's just hard on Wednesday to, you got to wait till Thursday.
Exactly.
Because, for example, now they put it on the injury report. NIR, not injury-related, for Derrick Henry. A well-deserved day off for Derrick Henry.
Not worried about that guy.
Yeah, but, DNPs yesterday included Saffold for the shoulder, Ben Jones for the knee, Anthony Firkser for the knee, Caleb Farley for the shoulder, Jayon Brown for the hamstring, and then Bud Dupree, who we're going to have on later. And that one, that's kind of the routine. But... I mean, Ben Jones, several times Sunday, this happened so much last year, too. Crouched over, with one of his knees in pain. I mean, it's a constant thing. And obviously, he missed a bunch of camp, and now he's out of practice. It's just like, is that just a thing that it's pain tolerance you get through the year, or is that like a real concern with him? That's one thing. Yeah. And then, Saffold, the shoulder... You don't like to see a DNP on that. Obviously, the shoulders, sometimes they can be short-term, but sometimes that can be a real problem, too. So it's a pretty banged-up team for this time of year, even though, obviously, you look at the whole injury report and you see Carson Wentz ankles did not practice. I mean, that's the
plural.
Biggest. Yeah, ankles. I've never seen that one on an injury report. Ankles. That's the biggest news of the day, that Carson Wentz couldn't go yesterday, but he did talk to the press and he said that they're doing everything they can, throwing the kitchen sink at it and see if he can give it a go.
It just feels like even if he can go at this point, you're going to see a very limited version of Carson Wentz out there. I mean, it's not like by the time Sunday comes around, he's going to be running a 4.6 out there trying to run away from somebody. Would be my guess. Unless maybe there's some magical healing waters up there in Indianapolis. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's a big part of his game. So it's already going to be a – but again, that version, whatever version, any version of Carson Wentz, I would take that over Jake Eason. All day. All day. So I still feel like, even though he didn't participate, today's a huge day, obviously. Yep. Today is a huge day with that, you know, to see if he actually gets out there. If he doesn't get out there today, well, I still think he'll probably try. But if he goes today, even limited, I think that's confirmation that he's going to be out there.
Justin on Periscope says, Henry is 14 touchdowns away from the Titans' all-time record. Over-under games it will take for him to break it. I mean, he's going to
four.
But he's going to do that this year.
Four and a half. Yeah.
In all seriousness, I will say, I'll put it at 10.5.
Yeah, I was going to say about 11.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10, 11.
Range. Over under 10.5.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
He'll get there before the end of the season.
If he keeps up that pace from last week, it's going to be pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You pop it in three a game, it's going to be pretty quick.
Yeah. That would bode well for them and him. But yeah, I think 10.5, 11 is a good spot.
We're off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans, including a nice back and forth between Joe Rex Road and Mike Vrabel yesterday on the taunting rule. We'll get to that coming up next as well. Right now, they're going to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And the biggest game of Week 3 almost upon us. It's the Monday night matchup between Philadelphia and Dallas. And FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. And that means you can end the NFL week the right way by winning $150 on a $5 bet. Personally, give me Dallas in this matchup. I've been impressed with how Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, and most specifically Dak Prescott, have responded early in the season. But you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America, safe and secure, and they get you your money quickly in as little as 24 hours. So just sign up with promo code ROB this week before Dallas takes on Philadelphia, and you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, a $10 first deposit required. Must wagering designated offer market, max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And I have not had to look at my phone yet today, Joe Rex Road, and see what day it is. So we're off to a better start than yesterday.
Okay. What day is it?
Okay. So what day is it? Interesting back and forth yesterday between yourself and Mike Vrabel. And we spent a lot of the show yesterday discussing the new, or I guess new is not the right way to phrase it, the taunting rule that is receiving a lot more attention, I guess would be the better way.
The new emphasis.
The new emphasis on taunting in the NFL. And that has been a heavy talking point this week league-wide. Tom Brady has offered some opinions on it. And generally speaking, all players don't like it. I don't know that I've come across a player yet that said, you know what, really like this new crackdown on the taunting rule that the NFL has thrown out there. But it is interesting to see what coaches and what executives think about this. And you asked Mike Vrabel about the taunting penalty and the enforcement on that yesterday. And it led to an interesting back and forth between yourself and Mike Vrabel. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say yesterday at his press conference.
Mike, you liked the emphasis on taunting. Just wondering, so far early, if you think it's being called correctly. I know you may only.
There's a lot of things, whether I agree, that are called correctly or incorrectly. The intent of that, again, is that these actions that are directed towards the opponent have no room in our game. You know, there's a lot of kids that watch our football games, finger pointing, getting in a guy's face, pointing your finger at him, you know, flexing on him, standing over top of him, You know, those are things that I believe and I was taught. You know, there's a way to celebrate. Nobody's trying to take any kind of celebration or having fun out of this game. It's an emotional game. I pointed out to our players, you know, we make a play, you know, go celebrate with the guy that made the play. We have nothing to say to the opponent. You know, somebody else made the play. Go celebrate with your teammates. That's the message that I'm trying to send, whether I agree with what they call or not call. That's always been the case.
In general, do you think that's about what they're looking to stop?
I think that for the fifth or sixth time, we're trying to keep, or at least our football team. You know, I mean, I'm just trying to tell our guys, celebrate with your teammates. You know, be as excited as you want to. Be excited with your teammates, with your sideline. You know, that's what it is. And like everything else that our league does, you know, they will get, you know, come together and they will decide how they want to officiate it. But from our standpoint with the Tennessee Titans, it's a clear message. Celebrate with your teammates or run the risk of hurting your football team.
So as Mike Vrabel said there, maybe five or six times, Rex Road, they're very keen on celebrating you with your teammates and making sure that you don't hurt the football team.
And that's an edited down version of the conversation.
Yes, it is.
Basically, at one point he's like, "Yeah, I'm not going to go through all the calls." And I was like, I'm going to talk about the one.
Just one?
I was asking about the DJ Reed call, which, you know, I think, in my opinion, is a good example of a little bit overzealous enforcement of the rule. So I agree. First of all, so I'm asking these questions for a coworker. So I look forward to Lindsay Jones's story, I think, today.
Yeah.
That will come out today at The Athletic about this. She got a lot of us those of us who cover coaches who I believe are on the competition committee. I think that's why these specific – and Vrabel, again, he has expressed his support for this. I think this is a pretty strong coach-supported thing, you know. Vrabel and all the other coaches that are going to be in this piece are on the competition committee, so which, of course, approved. So this is a coach thing. And you know what? The funny thing, like when Vrabel's talking about that stuff, it's what I tell my kids. Celebrate with your teammates. Don't taunt people. Don't point. So I'm with the idea of being a good example. I'm also with the idea of what Rivera said, which I hadn't even really thought about, but sort of the idea of if you don't let this carry on through a game, you have less chance of like a fight breaking out or, you know, just a constant running, screaming at each other type thing. So like I think this is just, it's just like anything where it's, you know, like I love donuts, okay, or whatever, but moderation is important. I think we need moderation with the enforcement of the rule. I think right now it's a little bit overzealous, and I think some people thought it would just be preseason, we're going to go nuts with it, and then it'll go back to a little bit more sensible. Some of the – I agree. If you get in someone's face and you're – yeah, okay. That's not fun. Like, I'm more concerned about when they try to take the end zone celebration out. That's idiotic. Like, that's fun for everybody. I'm glad that – and that is celebrating with your teammates. That is not taunting someone. This is different than that. But, yeah, a few of these examples, and I do think the Reed thing, and I've heard from inside the building, watch it again, but I don't know. I guess I don't know exactly all the words that were spoken there, but it didn't look like much to me.
Well, it didn't look like A.J. Brown paid much attention to it, whatever it was. I mean, he was just kind of there. So, I mean, I didn't think that call was very good. Now, look, I'm with you. I don't want to see, you know, obviously fights in an NFL game and – you know, just people yelling back and forth at each other all game. But I also don't recall that being that big of a problem in the NFL either. Like, I don't recall that there just being this massive issue of fights and people getting in each other's face and pushing and shoving each other all season long last year. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't remember that being a part of the conversation.
Yeah, it hasn't risen to the level of an all-out fight too often. I'd say you've got some matchup. I mean, look, like Jalen Ramsey, for example,
sure,
in a lot of matchups. It turns into, I mean, well, like, what was it, Ramsey and Golden Tate, but of course that's also personal, so
yeah,
that's a different deal altogether. But, like, there's an example of a guy who, he makes a play, he's probably going to talk trash to the guy right immediately. And then,
but isn't that part of the game to some degree?
Yeah, I think so. I think to some degree. I mean, I'm okay with when it gets too much. I don't know how fun that is, you know? Again, it's the fun stuff that matters more to me. Receivers and corners going at each other, pass rushers, you know, pass blockers sometimes, whatever the case may be. Yeah, a little bit of, again, how can you play with such emotion in a game that is violence? It's violence. It's collisions, it's violence, and so much emotion, and you're just supposed to completely turn it off. I mean, I think, again, there's a middle ground there where you have to expect some back and forth.
Yeah, like, you know, I don't think it's that much of an ask for players to not get in each other's face after every play and start yelling at each other. Like, but again, I don't think that was a huge issue before. Like, I think part of what makes the game fun is the emotion and is the hostility at times. It's funny that we're talking about trying to restrict people from saying things to each other when every play somebody's trying to take somebody's head off. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. So
yeah,
that part of it is very interesting to me. But, like, some of the mic'd up moments. I mean, Tom Brady, he talks trash all the time. That's what he does. It's hilarious. I think it's awesome. But I just hope that now, and you brought this up yesterday, and I think it's a great point. Now that the conversation is pretty loud on this and there's a lot of attention being given to this week, I hope that we don't see on Sunday some really stupid borderline taunting call that ends up costing somebody a game or something, because it's really, to me, was never that big of a problem in the NFL. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Obviously, I'm not on the field. I'm not in the huddle, so I don't really know the extent of taunting that goes on. But I, as a casual NFL viewer, I don't remember the last, really my entire lifetime, looking at a game saying, man, they taunt each other a lot. That's a big problem.
Well, and it's – so to your point on, like, Brady, it's like basically if you can just sort of bark at people or get your comments in, but – you don't flex or stand over them or something like that, then I guess you're fine.
Yeah.
Just keep it verbal, I guess.
I guess you know? So. Say whatever you want. Just keep it verbal.
But again, the QBs, you know, the QBs get the pass on things.
I want to see who the first quarterback is that gets called for this. Yeah, that'd be an interesting prop bet on FanDuel Sportsbook.
That it's kind of an interesting discussion because I bet you it doesn't happen.
It may not.
It's interesting, like the corners and the receivers get popped, the quarterbacks don't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's hopefully it levels out because, yeah, you just don't want one of these to be something that determines a game. Hey, you also don't want a questionable hold or clip to determine a game either.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, if you're a Notre Dame football fan.
Or pass interference.
Or that, or a pass interference everybody saw and didn't and wasn't called. If you're a Notre Dame football fan, you still go back to Notre Dame, Colorado, and Rocket Ismail.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
At the time, I was like, yeah, that's right. It was a penalty, but boy, I don't know.
Boy, in retrospect, not sure.
So there's a lot of ways refs can, you know, influence the outcome of a game.
Like not calling a safety.
In an unfortunate way.
Yeah.
that's right. That was just a bad call.
Of all the calls over the weekend, like we spent a lot of time on the taunting stuff, that still was maybe the worst one all weekend long of, oh, that's not a safety, huh? Well, I don't know what I've been watching the last 20 years, but apparently it's not football.
Because, I mean, he really didn't grab him until he was in the end zone.
In the end zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good stuff. When we come
so
back,
maybe the league is against the Titans and they're for the Seahawks and the big market teams.
Maybe so.
Could be a conspiracy.
Could be. When we come back, speaking of some strange stuff, a player that was available for practice yesterday for the Titans, it generated a lot of reaction on social media, including to our very own Joe Rexroad. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Sunday as Nashville SC takes on Chicago. Pregame starts at 11:45, and the match begins at noon. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. And Joe, I was riding around yesterday, listening to Mike Vrabel in the car, and all of a sudden Mike Vrabel says that Taylor Lewan should be out there today. And I thought to myself, wow, that is incredible news for the Titans, because honestly, after I saw him struggle and get injured and looked very concerned in the warm-up on Sunday with the videos that were put out from Seattle, I thought to myself, man, could this be maybe a longer-term thing that Taylor Lewan's going to have to deal with this year? So when Mike Vrabel said that he expected Lewan to be out there yesterday, I thought that was phenomenal news for the Titans. And as we know, he gets out there, he practices, and I thought to myself, wow, well, if you're a Titans fan, you got to feel great about this, that Taylor Lewan is back out there. So, I mean, you know, we're talking 3 days after we saw that in Seattle on Sunday. And there were a lot of Titans fans that did feel that way. But, Joe, there are some Titans fans that seem to just shudder at the idea of Taylor Lewan being available to play football for this team. I don't understand what's happening here in this market.
I'm trying to, you know, it's one of those things. Okay, hold on, back away. Twitter's not real life. Back away. Remember, you know, you have 6-7 people saying something that they don't necessarily represent thousands of people who think something. But the number of responses, so the tweet was, Taylor Lewan would be on the field today at practice. This is my tweet. Extremely good news for the Titans. The number of people, I'm just going through my mentions right now. Is it? Is it, though? Is it? Are you sure? What? Good news. That's good news? Forgive me if I'm not beside myself with joy. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay. Okay, so let's back up again. Maybe there's a little misunderstanding. Like, you know, I'm not saying, okay, he has to immediately play this week, and if he doesn't, they're screwed, and if he does, they're going to win for sure. But, like, you don't think it's good news that your Pro Bowl left tackle doesn't have a serious injury? Are you stupid?
I just don't understand. I really don't.
And, of course, Bob's, like, trolling me, like, you know, Bob trolling. Why? Was his podcast recording canceled? What a bum. And then I'm like, and I go off on Bob. He's like, I'm just trolling.
Thanks,
good,
Bob.
Very, very good job, Bob. But again, so the back and forth here includes Chris Yao. So this is, and I don't know Chris real well, but, you know, he works for Main Street, Maury County, but he also does a radio show with my friend Mo Patton. And I've gone on their show a few times. So, you know, I mean, talk to Chris, smart guy, and I think he pays close attention. So we went back and forth on Lewan, and I'm like the conversation, actually, I was like, did people think this? Because, so he's throwing all these stats at me. Why? Basically, he's like, I think they're better in pass protection and better, like, fewer penalties and better pass protection when they don't have Lewan in the lineup. And I'm like, bro, what?
Yeah, what have you been watching?
What are we talking about here? And he's like, sack percentage from Tannehill. I'm like, dude, no. I mean, again, it's a lot of it is I don't have analytics here. I don't have the Pro Football Focus, you know, numbers. But, again, just – like, watch them when they have Lewan. Again, Lewan, real Lewan, good Lewan, and how they go about things. You can devote another body to something else, like, you know, going out for a pass versus when they don't have Lewan and how they have had to play it. I mean, they were so bad at the beginning. So one of his points of evidence was they gave up 56 sacks in 2019, which is a lot of sacks.
Yeah.
So go back. You know, more than half of that was at the beginning of the year when either he was out or the first two games, Mariota's last two games.
Yeah.
Everything else, all of a sudden it got completely different because he was back in the lineup and good, because Saffold got better, because Nate Davis got better, but absolutely because Taylor Lewan got his footing, and by the end with Conklin on the right side, they're one of the best offensive lines. You could argue that was the best offensive line in the NFL by the end. And as great as Derrick Henry was, he was also – in tandem with a great offensive line. I understand how bad Lewan was in the first. I get that. He was bad. No one would argue that. And there's a concern. mentally, the leg, all that stuff. It's fair. Is he going to be back to what he was? That's fine. But you don't think it's a good thing to have him healthy and look at Seattle. We were better against Seattle. Roll with that. Really?
I mean, the case in point of this, it can be a very simple math formula on this. What was the record of the Titans last year before Taylor Lewan got hurt? It was like 5-0.
Right.
What was the record after? It was 6-6. Does that not tell you something, maybe? Now, look, I get it. There are factors that play into that. Strength of schedule, all these different things. But the Titans were basically a 500 team last year when he went down. And, yes, they had a productive offense. Arthur Smith and company did a great job in making the most out of a bad situation, losing your left tackle. But the fact of the matter remains, you basically had to take Jonnu Smith completely out of your passing game last year because he had to hang in there and block. So, look, I get it. Taylor Lewan sucked week one. I don't think there's any way to get around that. You know who else sucked in week one? Nate Davis. You know who's really good on Sunday? Nate Davis. It's possible to come in and have a much better game. I think there's, for some people, there's this image that, oh, Taylor Lewan was really bad week one, and that's going to be what he is as they move forward here. And I just don't know how you could possibly know that.
Well, yeah. I mean, if that's what he is, then great. Then go with Tyson Brilo.
Sure.
Tyson Brilo did a great job. It's good for the Titans. And on the depth front, it's very good that the Titans have Tyson Brilo and David Questenberry. Those guys have really come in and done the job. For what they are on a roster and how they're paid, they've been really good. But, yeah, Taylor Lewan, they have in the past few years, whoever is lining up over there, they have been able to say, block him. And he hasn't blocked the guy 100% of the time, but he wins a lot more than he loses, and there is a lot of value in that, which is why he's paid what he's paid. Maybe he falls off the cliff now. That's certainly possible. But the prospects of this team, to me, improved when the knee was not serious. They have a chance to do more things with him being good Lewan. I think some of this has to be the personality stuff, right? Just people don't like him.
Because, you know, I think A.J. Brown's a good example. Like A.J. Brown largely has been very good since he became a member of the Titans. We know that. Taylor Lewan has been largely very good since he became a member of the Titans. A.J. Brown was not – I thought A.J. Brown was horrible on Sunday. I did not think he was very good at all. Obviously, the drops are one thing and a big part of that discussion too. I just didn't think A.J. Brown was locked in and very good at all on Sunday. But it's one game, and people have kind of already moved on from A.J. Brown dropping the ball. Now, winning the game has something to do with that for sure. But I expect A.J. Brown to come out on Sunday and play really well. And, you know, if A.J. Brown drops one ball on Sunday, I don't think Nissan Stadium is going to echo a chorus of boos at him. I think he's going to be all right.
I would agree.
Taylor Lewan, this has been a really interesting couple of weeks for him. I mean, yes, he played poorly in week one. And, you know, you factor in his play with the way the whole team looked in week one. The boos didn't really surprise me at that point. But there's been a lot of venom directed his way these last couple of weeks. A lot of venom. And, you know, I get his personality is not for everybody. And look, I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm not the world's biggest Taylor Lewan fan. I like him. I think he's a really good player. But I could see where his personality maybe rubs people the wrong way sometimes. But I did not expect there to be this much venom directed towards Taylor Lewan off a two-week span where he looked like he was still hurt in game one, and he got hurt in pregame warm-up in game two. I mean, it's been pretty incredible to watch.
Yeah. Well, and again, so this is also beyond the venom. This is like, why is that good? Huh? I do think the two differences in like Lewan and AJ, one is the contract. So NFL fans who closely follow their team understand the cap and the challenges. And if it's like, well, gosh, Sombrilo was better than him, and how come, why is he making 15 mil? Or, you know, so there's some of that. And then the worries that, you know, that an ACL, like that this is going to be, he's going to be diminished as a player. So that's fine. But you can't tell me if you go back and look at him and how he played and how they played before he got hurt last year, or how he played after the first couple of games the year before, you can't tell me he hasn't been one of the best tackles in the NFL. He has been. And it's not like in 2016, like it was like the most recent stuff we've seen of him before the injury was great. So we'll see on the injury, but yeah, it's weird. It's weird. It's kind of Preds Facebooky.
It's
Titans
a Preds
Twitter
Facebook.
Is kind of Preds Facebooky right now.
It's a little
and
bit.
That is saying something.
Steven on Periscope says people are sick of the one apology every year. Just play.
Okay.
Nathan says professional podcaster.
Yeah, there you go. All you other guys on this team, you better damn well not be watching TV when you go home. You better be watching film only. No Twitter, no movies, don't go out to dinner, no free time.
Film is your dinner.
Yeah, that's right. Film
you
is your dinner.
You digest film.
You better be holding a football. Even when you're eating dinner, you better have a football in your other hand. Because no free time allowed.
We'll continue this conversation when we come back. Continue to take more of your thoughts on Taylor Lewan. Back at practice yesterday for the Titans. Joe and I think that's a good thing. Maybe some of you don't. Let us know on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win a pair of tickets to a sporting event or a concert in Nashville. Go to thegamenashville.com to play now. Silly underdog picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Presented by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Taylor Lewan and his return to practice yesterday for the Titans. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. John from Nashville texting in. These people are foolish. Having Lewan back is definitely a positive. I would, however, caution about playing this week or not starting him simply because he went down on a non-contract drill. It was a significant enough that he sat last Sunday. And to John's point, like, you know, if Taylor Lewan is not fully ready to go, I'm not in the business of rushing him back out there this week if I'm the Titans. But if he's ready to play, I mean, he's ready to play. Get out there and play. But I don't think the Titans are going to be reckless with this.
No, and that's a totally different discussion, the idea sure. of, are you sure this week? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just purely that's the medical people. And if he's cleared and he wants to play, then you play him. I mean, he's your best. I mean, he's your best offensive lineman. He is. Despite what we saw in week one, I've got to see a lot more of that to not think that he's your best offensive lineman. So, yeah, you play him. And he wants to get out there and, you know, kind of move on from that and move on from this latest scare and all that stuff. I agree. I think there's a mental aspect to this that he's just going to have to overcome.
Yep.
But, again, if they're looking at him, I mean, he's full participant yesterday. That tells me this was kind of a, I don't know about false alarm, but it was, you know, I mean, they're going to be careful. You have any kind of, you're coming off an ACL, and now you've got some discomfort, some pain or whatever. That's reckless. Reckless would be playing in that situation. So it appears this was a little bit of a scare. You're going to be totally careful, and then you get it all checked out. It's like, nah, it's good. So I'm assuming he's going to be playing. Like if he's full participant on Wednesday,
yeah.
I can't imagine that he wouldn't be cleared. So now it's a matter of overcoming it. But you know what's going to happen too is give up one sack and those boos will come out.
Oh yeah, Devin from Dover texting in. It's all about the podcast. People don't think you can do anything all year but play football, so they think it's making him worse. I hope when he makes the Pro Bowl this year, all these people shut up.
So now we got a Taylor Lewan fanboy on the other side of the. No, but I mean seriously. The podcast part of it is, I don't know.
Well, Aaron says, it's
bizarre.
Lewan catching heat for a podcast. Gronk was on Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli telling the world that he doesn't watch film. <I know. laughs> And it's true.
And by the way, then apparently he at the presser yesterday, he corrected that.
Yes.
He said, no, I actually watch film all the time. No, you don't.
Yeah, no, I don't think that he does. I think he was being 100% serious. He's like, yeah, I walk up to Brady, and he tells me who my matchup is this week and what to do.
Turn around, catch the ball.
Yeah.
Hit who's in front of you.
Drew texting in. Good morning, fellas. The way I see it, Twitter is an angry place. Sad people go to just unload their own crap on everyone else. You aren't getting a lot of positivity. Lawan is hilarious and a great personality for our team. He takes things personally, and we will see the best of him the rest of this season if he remains healthy. It is kind of under my philosophy of Twitter is a cesspool.
Twitter is a problem, yeah. I'm on it all day long.
You find yourself knee-deep in it all the time. One of my favorite things about Joe Rexroad.
Well, it does have.
It does.
It's a good news feed, and there's positive stuff on
there. There are.
There's nice people on Twitter, too.
It's a love-hate relationship, Joe. It's okay.
Yeah.
Mostly hate.
A little bit.
Yeah. Taylor from Fort Campbell texting in. The fact of the matter is that Taylor Lewan is a top 10 left tackle when healthy. Titans fans should want him on the field.
Well, I'm glad there's a lot of reasonable. So, again.
It's a more level-headed text line.
Well, right. So, all the response here is kind of confirming, okay, just remember, you know, take Twitter with a grain of salt. But I will say, like, I mean, I could count it up here. The responses to that tweet that were like, oh, really? That's good news? I mean, I bet you it's 20.
First off, performance aside, and I get it. That's the NFL. That's professional sports. Performance is all we care about. But, like, isn't it good news for anyone to not be hurt?
Well, sure.
You would think.
Yeah, now you're asking for too much. You're asking people to be human. Come on. But I mean, is it not good news for, like, your football team to have more depth? I mean, like, how is that good news? Okay. It's like 20-plus here with this.
That's concerning. Ramal texting in, Lawan healthy is good, but he isn't the same since he lost all the weight personally. He isn't always available, either personal problems on the field, hurt, PEDs. But I'd much rather have him. This is coming from Ramal on the text line.
Yeah, so obviously, and there's where whoever earlier said sick of the apologies, obviously, big apology there. Started the 2019 season. Everyone has a right to be mad at him for that, for sure.
Sure.
But, like, the year before how he played?
Look, we're not saying Taylor Lewan is perfect. There are a lot of things I think that you can criticize about Taylor Lewan that are valid. But if you think that he's just not good and he hasn't been good, I just don't know what you're watching. He was awful in game one. I don't think anybody – look, he wouldn't dispute that. He was terrible in game one. But if you watch him play over the long haul, he's been very good. Now, to your point, is there a concern to me that maybe he's not going to get back to that level after this injury? Yes. There is a concern there, and if that's the case, I think there's a very good chance this could be the last year that we see Taylor Lewan in a Titans uniform. But that's a separate issue to me. Like, this idea that he's just not been valuable for the last 3 years is ridiculous to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I there's nothing that supports that. You have to seriously go in and do some serious number twisting to try to – and again – just watch them play. Watch him play. It's very easy. It's a very easy answer.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. Got a texter that says, I think it is the same phenomenon with Lewan that it was with P.K. Subban. People don't like the bigger-than-life personality and the fact that these guys have any other interest or activities outside their primary sport. It's just silly. They're human like everyone else.
That's a good comparison. I like that. That's a very interesting point. I would not have thought of that, but and honestly, I would say there's a little bit of a similarity in them in the locker room in terms of. So with Subban, was this a Jared thing? I don't know. I don't want to blame Jared for something that wasn't him, but it may have been. I think at one point, like this whole like Subban's tearing up the locker room.
I don't think it was a Jared thing.
No, okay. Yeah. All right, I apologize. By the way, I beat Jared again in Jared versus Joe. It's a weekly thing. Take that L, brother. Is that 60% of the show now? We've talked about him?
Yeah, apparently.
There you go.
Yeah. But there was a lot of wherever it came from. Well, I think it was actually, you're right, it was more like Montreal media, wasn't it? Yeah, like he's tearing up the locker room.
Great place up there.
I think the reality of like Subban was there was a lot of rolling of eyes with stuff, right? Do you think that's a proper characterization of it? Like, sort of like, okay, whatever. And look, I think that happens with Taylor Lewan.
Yeah.
Some people love all this stuff, and there's people in the locker room who are like, okay, just shut up, man. But again, that's not the end. Whatever. It's not right. The end of the world. I mean, it's. But I think that's a great comparison also from the outside world. Subban, international superstar, all these commercials and everything. And so if he doesn't play well, oh, go do another Goodyear commercial, PK, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And again, so like if Derrick Henry starts playing poorly, like, oh, how about that Heisman House commercial, Derrick? Again, like so these people are not supposed to have lives outside of football or free time or do stuff. If they do something that we know about that's visible, that's known, it's bad.
You know who's in every other commercial on television right now?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski are in every commercial on TV.
If they don't win it all this year, Bucs fans, you better go nuts.
That's right.
That's all that time they could have spent going over film, going over the playbook, working on football.
Brady teaching Gronk how to watch film. Could have been beautiful. But instead, they're filming commercials.
How could Gronk – I mean, if you play with Brady, can you actually – could you have been Brady's teammate – that long and be just totally like just a bro who shows up and
I'm sure
I guess
he
if you're that physically
of,
yeah
I'm sure he watches some degree
I mean
of
you
film.
Have to I mean if you're an NFL player like you are in film sessions that you're mandated to be in
correct
yeah
Bryce texting in I think the problem is the money. As soon as LeJuan got the contract, he got suspended, and then last year he goes down and the offense remains elite. I think last year showed you can find cheaper talent and spread that money around. This is from Bryce on the text line.
So I understand to a point what you're saying. Certainly. And that's what I said earlier. Like, I mean, the big cap hit, you know that. I mean, hey, what about this guy, that guy? Hey, Sombrello just played well, right? I get it. But he got the contract going into the 18 season. Boss Hog press conference, one of the all-time greats.
That was good.
Again, that year, if you remember, and this actually led to the PEDs, you know, his story, or, you know, of the banned substance. Because if you remember that first game at Miami, it wasn't just that Mariota got hurt. It wasn't just that Delanie Walker broke his leg. But Taylor Lewan took one of the most vicious, I think, dirty hits ever.
Oh, yeah.
Not ever, but like in recent years, that was. And so then he had the concussion. He was out for a while. When he came back, he earned the money that year. And then the next year and last year before he got hurt, their offense was not the same last year. They did a great job of adjusting, but Ryan Tannehill had all day to throw the ball last year before LeJuan got hurt.
When we come back, we'll switch gears and look ahead to Tennessee's matchup against Florida, including a little gamesmanship from Josh Heupel as well. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.